The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to W2M.net's and Wrestling to the Max's 205 Live review. I'm obviously not Sean Garmer. I'm Paul Leeser, stepping in for Sean, who has appendicitis. If you listen to our SmackDown episode, then you've already heard all this, but if you're only listening to our 205 Live for whatever reason or something like that, Sean is okay. He's fine. He had surgery today. He's recovering, and we've had to shuffle around a lot of stuff across yesterday and today, but it's getting done, and I am here with the always now co-host, Mr. Harry Broadhurst.
Greetings, Paul. Here's hoping Sean sends a little bit of that hospital juju Ric Flair's way.
Yes, we didn't talk about this on the SmackDown, but Ric Flair, he's had successful surgery on his colon yesterday. He's in recovery now, but he's still in critical condition. So me and Gary talked about this on our W2M episode yesterday as well. But all thoughts and prayers and good vibes and juju and whatever you believe in towards Ric Flair, because this, I mean, he defined an era of wrestling, and it would just be a shame to lose him before it's his time.
As I said on my own personal Facebook page, 2017, you keep your filthy paws off of Ric Flair.
These years have been just diabolical recently, so hopefully they show some mercy to the wrestling fans and everybody who ever enjoyed Ric Flair's work.
However, all right, with that being said, shall we cover some cruiserweights?
Yeah, we got some Purple Brand to talk about today. Gulak opens up with a promo after Cedric Alexander and Grand Metalik come out. He's not a fan of show-offs, but he is a fan of Tony Nese's show-offingness because he's a picture of health, he's in great shape, all these other things that the people of 205 Live need to see to know that there is a healthier option out there, instead of just flying around like a crazy person here on 205 Live. And this, of course, leads us into that tag team match as Alexander and Metalik take on Tony Nese and Drew Gulak. About 8 minutes, Alexander ends up getting the win with a lumbar check on Drew Gulak. Tony Nese has gotten wins over these two in the past weeks and sort of stays safe without getting pinned here, even though he does take the loss. But I thought this was a really solid match. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I thought the tag match was good. I think that Tony Nese has kind of come into his own, and I was talking to Sean about this last week on the 205 Live review. I feel like Tony Nese is starting to come into his own now that they're allowing him to develop somewhat of that obnoxious jock personality that he kind of had as the premier athlete on the independent circuit. Mm-hmm. And if he can continue doing something like this all going forward here, it'll help him stand out in what has traditionally been a very bland and characterless 205 Live television show.
That's true. I mean, we've seen them try to develop characters, and either the live crowd doesn't attach to them, or they have to work pretty hard to get it over, like a Neville or a Tozawa or Jack Gallagher. Rich Swann, I think, is another good example at the time whenever he won the championship. But we're still sort of struggling to connect here. I think Drew Gulak's done a fantastic job with this campaign for a better 205 Live. It's fine to stick him in the mid-card, and it's pretty easy, I think, to create feuds for him based off of that. And Tony Nese, like you said, this was the most personality I think he's shown since they've had him show up on the show. And it works really well to get you to hate him because, I mean, the dude is, in fact, ripped and makes you jealous that you just sort of sit around and watch wrestling all day.
I would also give credit where credit is due to Grand Metalik, who... That moonsault, bro.
Yeah. I mean, this guy... Good.
That rope walk moonsault was a sight to behold tonight.
I know he didn't make the greatest first impression when they brought him back onto the show full time, but I mean, more often than not, this dude is on and he's one of the best to really do what he does, and that's, you know, moonsaults and walking ropes and generally just wowing you. And I know he's been more or less stuffed onto main event weekly, but watching him work is just a delight. I was a fan of his in New Japan and CMLL before he got here, and it sort of stinks to see that he's not getting as featured as I would like. And then this brings us to a backstage segment with Noam Dar Arya Daivari and Lindsay Dorado sort of talking about the outcome of the Cruiserweight Championship match on Raw. Most of them are happy that Neville lost his crown and sort of backhandedly say that Tozawa pretty much just got lucky. And Neville shows up, scares them all away, and then tosses a chair across the room, looking a bit disheveled here, and we'll see later on tonight during Akira Tozawa's championship celebration that the look sticks around because Titus is here celebrating. Tozawa and him say some words. They're all pumped up, and Neville comes out looking like a hot mess and is ready to take his championship back at SummerSlam and is pissed at Tozawa for ruining a championship he felt like he created and built up from the ground to mean something, and Tozawa winning it took it all away. We get a brawl. Neville comes out on the losing end of it, and I really enjoyed this, honestly. The match on Raw, while I was kind of upset that the moment didn't happen at SummerSlam for Tozawa, this felt nice. I really enjoy Tozawa's work, and I really hope they get a chance to show what they can do at SummerSlam.
Well, I don't know if you noticed the graphic. It is definitely on the pre-show on Sunday, which means there's going to be a commercial break during this match, which is unfortunate because these guys deserve to be on the main card, but I can understand why this match is on the pre-show, mm-hmm. because they know that it'll be a hot match that the crowd will be interested in, if not necessarily the match itself, at least the oohs and ahs that the match will provide. Based on what I saw tonight, though, I'm kind of nervous about my pick. With Tozawa clearly getting the better of Neville tonight, I'm really worried that they're going to hotshot the title right back to Neville on Sunday.
I think that's a fair worry, but I wonder if this is more a story about Neville's fall from grace, essentially, now, because he looks desperate, and obviously, you know, people can get pretty dangerous when they're desperate, but I feel like there's a lot to sort of tell about Neville falling from grace and having to either rebuild himself back up, or they use the star to try to put over more stuff as he continues a big downward spiral into being maybe the Mad King, if we can steal from Game of Thrones a little bit.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I don't imagine he'll be setting anybody on fire, but you can put it together, right? I mean, he's a crazy person as a king.
How about he's Negan once he loses his bat? Does that work?
I guess that's fair, too.
I don't watch Walking Dead either. I just thought it would be relevant.
Oh, that's fair. I don't watch Walking Dead anymore, but I do read the comic books. So.
All right.
Brian Kendrick takes on Mustafa Ali back earlier in the show. Kendrick seems to be very worried about Gallagher and not really focusing on anything. Commentary plays it up. He does end up getting a victory over Mustafa Ali here. And then goes sort of the extra distance of trying to break his foot, essentially, by sticking it in between the steps. As he looks to go to do it, though, Jack Gallagher runs out and makes the save and sends Kendrick running, and he gets into a brawl with him before he sends Kendrick running, excuse me. And then there's a promo later on where Kendrick's freaking out about Gallagher. He can't pay attention. He's afraid he's going to sneak up on him all these times, and contemplates maybe challenging him to a duel to finally put it to sleep.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Gallagher's involvement actually cause the disqualification?
Maybe. I thought Kendrick won, but I can't. I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure, but I believe, because I remember the foot being set up, and then Kendrick rolled into the ring to break the count, and then that's when Gallagher came down the ramp.
Yeah, that might have forced the DQ here.
I just want to say that MMA Jack Gallagher is badass. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Gentleman Jack. I think he's fantastic. But this version of Jack Gallagher is something that I think even main roster fans can get behind. Because dude is just whooping everybody's ass who gets in his way right now, and specifically Brian Kendrick. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've all wanted to punch Brian Kendrick in the face at some point in our lives.
True.
But Gallagher is doing it with increasing ferocity, and it's a beautiful thing to behold.
I really like this because we don't see a lot of multi-nuanced characters so much, and especially on 205 Live, and Gallagher, I think, has proven he can be silly. he can be very gentle, and now he's proven he can be sort of a throwback to the picture of old English boxers with their taped fists and the way they hold them up and all that. So, like you, I'm digging this, even though I thought the initial onset of Kendrick just sort of mocking him wasn't so much a win for me. But what it's turned into, I think it's worked out pretty nicely.
Yeah, as long as they can avoid the fun with Photoshop segments, as Tony likes to call them, they're good.
Oh, Tony.
Tell me he's wrong.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
Because those Photoshop segments are always garbage.
True facts there. True facts. Rich Swann gets a promo talking about how he's going to face TJP tonight in a rubber match because they each have a victory over each other over the last couple of weeks. However, Aria Daivari shows up and says that he is Swann's new opponent tonight and sort of leaves it vague as to what happened to TJP. So the match happens. About 5-6 minutes or so, TJP comes out on crutches and distracts Rich Swann, which allows Daivari to get the hammerlock lariat to get the victory. And that's sort of all she wrote here. And I don't know. I really like both TJP and Rich Swann's in-ring work. Character-wise, they've been pretty hit or miss on 205 Live throughout the entire run. And Daivari has only recently started to become something you should maybe pay attention to.
I think Daivari was doing his best work when he was getting involved with Tozawa and Neville. Mm-hmm. I think putting him back into a program with Rich Swann here is kind of a step back down for Daivari, because I feel like he was coming into his own when he was placed into the ring with the upper echelon of 205 Live. I will admit that I have a little bit of bias here because I was a big fan of Arya Daivari's brother, Sean. Mm-hmm. I loved the Muhammad Hassan character, so by proxy, I loved the Daivari character as well. So I have a little bit of built-in bias towards Arya Daivari, but at the same time, I feel like I think he needs a finish more suited for a cruiserweight, though. I don't like the hammerlock. I don't like the Pepsi twist as his finish. Although I feel like Triple H is laughing over the fact that one of CM Punk's signature moves is a cruiserweight finish.
Yeah, that might be part of it too. I don't really mind it. It makes Daivari sort of stand out, but. In a world where WWE tries to book a cruiserweight division, I think they feel like variety is the best way to try to find something that's going to stick to the wall. And I don't hate the move. I agree, it doesn't really fit a cruiserweight, but when you're both sort of around those same weight limits, maybe it feels like it matters more.
All the same, that being said here, I like Rich Swann. I hope for better for Rich Swann in the future. Mm-hmm. They need to get him past this feud with TJ Perkins because it's been kind of dead in the water, in my opinion, for a while. They need to just hurry up and get to the blow-off match because we know 205 Live loves their blow-off matches. And then we can move Swann on to bigger and better things.
Those blow-off matches are usually where the money's at on this show. All of them have usually been very, very good.
Dar and Alexander in the I Quit match was okay, but I think that got hurt by the fact that they didn't get as much time as they probably should have for an I Quit match. That being said, I thought the Mustafa Ali Drew Gulak 2 out of 3 falls match may have been the best match I've ever seen on 205 Live.
The Tozawa Kendrick match still might be one of the best in my opinion for me, just because not only did that launch Akira Tozawa, I think, to the next level on 205 Live, but that match itself was just spectacular. But I agree with you about that I Quit match. It didn't help that feud got dragged through the mud 6 ways from Sunday before they decided to blow it off.
Yeah, that thing should have probably had a bullet put into it a couple of months prior than when it did.
Very true.
old Yeller, that thing. Take it out behind a barn and just finish it off already.
Just put it out of its misery. Absolutely. That's pretty much covers all of 205 Live. The quick build-up for SummerSlam with the Cruiserweight Championships on the line and all that, and everything else sort of moving along as per schedule for 205 Live, as it usually want to be, is, I don't know, an enjoyable episode, I think, for the most part. It does fly by very quickly, even though not all of it maybe sticks out, and you'll be remembering it a month from now, you know?
Oh, no. None of these matches are anything that you're going to remember down the road. You might remember bits and pieces of the matches, but the matches in their entirety, you're not going to remember. Like, I'll remember Metallic's moonsault next week. That's what I'll take away from that tag match opener. I'll remember Metallic's moonsault and the fact that Alexander got back in the win column by dropping Gulak with the lumbar check.
Yeah.
For the Rich Swann Aria Daivari match, I'll remember the fact that for some unknown reason, TJ Perkins was out on crutches on this show, and they never actually explained why. And then as far as the Kendrick match goes, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do with Kendrick and Gallagher in the Gentleman's Duel. I feel like if they give them the opportunity to have one of those fight-to-the-finish things, kind of like what Gallagher had with Daivari, I feel like they could go ahead and give Gallagher something more to sink his teeth into and move forward with the Gallagher character with this new, more aggressive side that this feud with Kendrick has brought out in him.
I completely agree. All that, plus, you know, Tozawa and Neville, I think, was money in the main event, so lots of good stuff to look for. Go ahead.
And just, oh, sorry, just going to say real quick, and as far as Kendrick's portrayal of the character goes, it's often been said that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
It's true. It's very, very true. So thank you, everybody, for listening to our 205 Live review. I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, you know, W2M.net, or W2Mnet.com, excuse me, great place to go, podcasts, written reviews, all sorts of stuff besides wrestling. You got sports, you got video games, you got entertainment, all sorts of great stuff on there. 411mania.com, also a great place. They do great work on there as well as put up our shows. Harry, what you want to plug this episode?
All right, let's go ahead and go through these in order here. First, for 411 Mania, my co-host over on the Raw Reaction, Tony Acero, is going to be up to big things real soon on 411 Mania. I do not want to let the cat out of the bag for him. It is his decision to release the news when he's ready to, but I assure you it is going to be must-read. In addition, you can find myself, W2Mnet's Robert Taylor, and Tony Acero on the Raw Reaction Monday nights at 11:30 live right after Raw over on Yes Wrestling Radio in association with the Yes Wrestling Group through Facebook, as well as Greg DeMarco and his ProWrestling.biz function. Myself and Patrick Ketza co-host Wrestling Unwrapped here on the W2M Network. We are currently working on figuring out the schedule to record the last two episodes of our throwback to August 1998. Technically speaking, Road Wild was supposed to be this past Sunday. I was out of town this weekend, so odds are we're probably going to record it sometime between now and when we cover the Highway to Hell SummerSlam a little bit later on in the month. And, Paul, why don't you go ahead and handle this last one here, because there are big things afoot for the three of us as well, myself, yourself, and Patrick Ketza here. Starting within the next 5 days.
Yeah, we have a giant weekend of wrestling ahead of us, of course, with TakeOver and SummerSlam being this weekend. But they're also airing the Bracketology episode for the Mae Young Classic on Sunday as well, right after SummerSlam. So after that airs, myself, Patrick Ketzer, Harry Broadhurst are going to cover the entire bracket. We'll talk about the ladies involved. We'll give our predictions on matches, as well as how we think the tournament will go and all that. Most of us are great big wrestling fans, and really, really looking forward to bringing all of that to you. Plus, myself and Gary will be doing the show Thursday, where we'll be previewing both of those shows. So, lots of great stuff to look forward to this week on the network. And honestly, we just can't wait to bring it to you. Great stuff. And Harry, do you have anything else you really want to plug before we say sayonara to all the people out there? Whoa, Harry. Maybe not. Okay, so for Harry Broadhurst, I'm Paul Leeser. Thank you so much for listening, and until next week, we will see you then, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.